Gary Walkner heads a nonprofit group called Save the Colorado. I met him this summer, not at the headwaters of the Colorado, but on the upper part of the Green River, which is a major tributary. We were thinking about what happens to the water we were camping next to, how it makes its way into Utah, watering the melon patches in the desert before disappearing into the Labyrinth and Stillwater Canyons that back up behind Cataract Canyon, where the Green meets the Colorado proper. The big dams are still ahead, as is the Grand Canyon. Morelos Dam on the border between U.S. and Mexico is the final nail in the river's coffin, where what's left of it, what belongs to Mexico, is siphoned off into a tube and sucked away from its channel. In this story, Gary's talking about the very end of the line. He was 40 miles downstream from that dam last March, standing in the sandy delta in the middle of what was supposed to be the Colorado River. It was 100 degrees, and this cool breeze started coming down the channel ahead of a small trickle of water.
And it would come over your feet, and it was moving at maybe 2-3 miles an hour, and you could walk right along beside it. And it would come over your shoes and your feet and then just rise up your ankles. You stood there for 30 minutes. It was the most incredible experience to see this river come back to life. And it literally smelled like the Continental Divide in the place in Colorado where I know it. It was cool. It was still cool on my ankles. You know, after it had gone through 90 miles of like 100-degree desert sand, and it was still cool on the feet, and you could smell the mountains in it.
For Gary to stand in ankle-deep water 40 miles downstream from Morelos Dam, a major international agreement had to be signed, and a half-dozen environmental groups worked around the clock for years. That trickle, called the Pulse Flow, represented less than 1% of what used to flood the Delta every year before the dams. On March 22, 2014, the gates were opened on Morelos Dam, allowing this bubble of water to spill into the dry delta. During some high water years in the late 90s, this happened on its own, but really the dry disconnect between the river and the sea has been in place since the 60s. Obviously, this has had serious implications on the fisheries in the Sea of Cortez. They're gone. And on the unique desert wetland of the Delta, which sounds like an oxymoron, but really it's a rare and wonderful ecosystem. It used to be one of the most biodiverse places in the United States, and the hope of the organizations that pushed for the Pulse Flow was that maybe just a little bit of water could perk up an ecosystem that was dormant rather than dead. The Nature Conservancy was one of the organizations involved in the Pulse Flow project. I talked to Brian Richter, the chief scientist for their global water program.
There are a surprising number of rivers and streams around the world now that are literally being dried up for human use. And the Colorado River is no different. By the time you get to the tail end of the Colorado River, its delta, where the river once flowed into the Sea of Cortez, the Gulf of California in Mexico, it's now all dried up. For decades, water hasn't flowed through the delta. No connection to the ocean anymore. And a lot of people say, well, so, you know, what's wrong with that? Shouldn't we keep, isn't that a waste of water to let any water run to the sea? Well, it turns out that that water flowing into the ocean and into estuaries that are at the mouth of these rivers is very, very important to fisheries production and all the livelihoods and economies that are associated with that. And so the Colorado River hasn't reached its delta for decades, and there's a lot of people that have been very concerned about that, what we've lost. This was one of the most important wetlands in all of North America. It was a 2-million-acre wetland full of waterfowl, ducks and geese, and this is hard to imagine because the delta is totally dry. There used to be a fish there called the totoaba that would grow to longer than 6 feet in length and more than 100 pounds in weight. And you go out there today and you say, how in the world could that have possibly happened? So it was a very different place prior to, say, before we started building Glen Canyon in Lake Mead, Hoover Dam. So there's been a lot of interest in trying to bring some water back to the Delta. And a few years ago, I think it was 2008, 2009, there was a big earthquake in Mexico, in the Mexicali Valley, and it shattered a lot of the infrastructure that was used for irrigating crops there. The canals, the pipelines, and that sort of thing. And so the Mexican farmers were in real dire straits. So there have been negotiations going on about how the United States could step in under what terms and help to finance some of the rebuilding of that irrigation infrastructure. As part of that deal between the two countries, the two governments agreed that we would invest in rebuilding the irrigation in Mexico in exchange for some additional water use rights within the United States. So we would store some of that saved water by making those farms in Mexico more efficient. We would save some of that stored water in the lower reservoirs in the Colorado River on the United States side. As part of those negotiations, a number of environmental groups got involved, including the Nature Conservancy, and advocated for using some of that saved water, some of that new water that was available to the United States and Mexico, to reconnect the Colorado River with the ocean and to improve the fisheries and the livelihoods there. And so a year ago spring, so in March, April, May, June of last year, of 2014, there was some of that saved water was stored up in the reservoir, and they released it in what was called the pulse flow, and the river reconnected to the ocean again for the first time in decades. And it was a really inspiring celebration. There were pictures of Mexican kids who had never seen water flowing down the Colorado River, even though they lived in villages right on the banks of that river. And the towns just sort of shut down, and there was one big party for weeks on end of not just the kids, but the parents coming out, riding horses up and down the river, just celebrating the return of water. And we've already seen that the environmental benefits, the ecological recovery of that delta system, has shown some signs, some very, very positive signs.
When the Colorado River breached Morelos Dam last March, filmmaker Pete McBride was there too, with his camera and a stand-up paddleboard. Even though it was only a few inches deep in places, he became one of only three people who have paddled the Colorado River to the Sea of Cortez in recent human history.
How was it? It was probably one of the hardest bushwhacking journeys I've been on. Definitely on a paddleboard. There were some real thick sections of mesquite and tamarisk and cattails, mostly little pockets where agricultural water had leached into these kind of low spots in the delta, enough just to support little pockets of really dense vegetation. And the mosquitoes were biblical. I've never seen anything like mosquitoes that emerged. I'd walked the delta 2009, 2010, and there was no water, and of course there were no mosquitoes then, so it never dawned on me that there were, it would cross my mind that the mosquitoes would come back with such ferocity and anger. Beyond that, beyond the challenges, it was spectacular on so many levels. The ecological memory down there just seemed to spring right back to life. We saw these crustaceans that were swimming in the sand within minutes of the pulse. It was called the pulse release. Life was just coming right back to life. And a lot of the willows and cottonwoods were spawning. And so you had this cotton and seeds floating in the air, and the birds were going crazy, and the coyotes. And it wasn't what Aldo Leopold, the great conservationist who canoed in 1922, saw. He took a canoe across there and talked about these the cottonwood forests and the leopards and the green lagoons everywhere. We at points saw these green lagoons that you couldn't figure out how to negotiate, and it was pretty magical to see that. But we didn't see it to the extent he did, but we got a glimpse of what that place was like and could be like. And it was, and more importantly, it was to see the spirit of the Mexican people down there. They had everyone down at the river shore, the mariachi bands, the ranchero bands, the taco carts, the dune buggies, the dancing horses, all the cowboys on the horses, people fishing, kids running, playing. It was like this joyous fiesta. And they were all celebrating their Rio, their river, celebrating the special guest of water, which they hadn't seen. The last time the river actually reached the sea was 1998, so it was nearly two decades. So that was, for me, one of the greatest sights. I just couldn't believe.
After seeing the delta like that, do you feel differently when you're upstream from there on the river?
I do. I think about I just think about rivers differently now. I, like many, started this project. I had no clue what became of the Colorado River. I had no idea it dried up until I walked across it. I had no idea how significant a delta was down there, what these estuaries really, how important they were. And now I have a small glimpse into it, and I realize how these rivers are really arteries connecting so many of our systems that, that keep things going on this planet, wildlife, and also us. It's not just about hearing, you know, endangered species of birds singing. It's about keeping salt out of our water table so we can have a grow farm, you know, food on our farmland. There's a lot of interconnected systems through rivers that we often overlook.
All three of these guys who were involved with the Pulse Flow talked about how hopeful the project made them. There's something really satisfying about the thought of a river running its entire course from source to mouth. Because rivers like the Colorado seem so massive, so almighty, so endless. But they can die. We can kill them. I asked Brian Richter of the Nature Conservancy if this was going to be a one-off event or if it could happen again.
We're sure hoping that it will. So that agreement was for a 5-year pilot program. And the agreement was to just do one pulse flow in that 5 years. There's now very active agreement or very active negotiations going on to try to make that a permanent situation. So every few years to do that kind of a pulse flow. We're very hopeful that that's going to get it put into place because of how well received this first experiment was. At the same time, there that same group of environmental interests, 5 different conservation organizations, both in Mexico and the United States, have banded together to raise funds to purchase water rights from willing farmers that will enable us to actually run a trickle of water down the river all of the time. So the river will be flowing all of the time and then every once in a while getting a pulse flush coming down. So it's very, very exciting and I'm very optimistic.
Now if I had a Mexican hat, I wouldn't put it on. I'd jump right in from its broad brim and skim down the San Juan. And if somebody made for me a good old gooseneck pie, I'd rather float on down his throat in a riverboat, says I. Oh, 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 muddy river, oh, 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 on your way down to the sea, I'll take your rapids and your roar like they ain't never been took before, and come a-running back for more, 'cause you don't worry me.
The Source is a production of Utah Public Radio with major support from iUtah. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. I produced this episode of The Source with help from Ross Chambliss and moral support from Ryan Cunningham. There were a lot of stories we could have told about the Colorado River this month. Special thanks to the folks who made time to talk to us about their relationship with the river. Filmmaker Pete McBride, both of the Erics, Eric Millis and Eric Balkin, Save the Colorado's Gary Walkner, and the Nature Conservancy's Brian Richter.
Send our flood down to the sea. I'll meet you there for a big party. We'll bust out Boulder Dam. Then Leahy built a ferry there.
We're back next month with one last episode of The Source. There have been a lot of developments in 2015, the year of water. Ross and I are planning on bringing you some updates on stories we reported on earlier this year. If you have a request for a story you'd like to hear more about, send us a tweet using the hashtag UPRSource, or send us an email to uprsource@gmail.com. Refresh your memory at upr.org, where all 11 episodes of The Source are archived with full audio. Talk to you then. Thanks for listening.
Just crash along with me. The mules work hard at Phantom Ranch, but the deer are really living. Just have a seat and a buck will eat all the buckwheat cakes you'll give them. At Toro Weep I went to sleep a dreaming of an actress. In great despair I woke up there, the air gone from my mattress. Oh, 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 muddy river, oh, oh, on your way down to the sea, I'll take your rapids and your roar like they ain't never been took before, and come a-running back for more, 'cause you don't worry me. At Lava Falls, the roar appalls, and no words can define it. We stood on shore for a week or more and swore that we would line it. No guts, I heard a boatman say, as down the tongue he rode it. He pulled ashore with a broken oar some 40 miles below it. Oh, Danger River, boiling, seething, turning to the sea. Your rapids took me and your roar like I ain't never been took before. I ain't so sure I want some more.